Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
But what I want to talk about this morning is our need to have fresh oil in prayer, the need for us to understand the call that we have to walk a life that is filled with prayer. One of the things that happened in the journey of GMC many years ago, one of the truths that we understood was if we want to see God work and fulfill His mandate, we need to see some components. And one of the things we realized is that if we wanted to have a favorable weather for God to move, we needed to walk in unity. And walking in unity, it's not to walk in uniformity, but walking together in the mission of fulfilling God's call to go and make disciples of every nation. But there was this call to walk in togetherness and being one. And the other aspect was spiritual passion or where we or what we want is to live a life of worship and at the same time to see the Word of God in our lives and to see prayer being in the heart of what we do as a church. And so if you come out of the church, of the auditorium, and you look on the wall in the foyer, you'll see a picture of a beach. And the beach is our preparation, what we can do to help people to experience God or come alive to God and His kingdom. But one of the things that is needed to see that, it's to have a favorable weather. And I believe prayer is a big component when it comes to our lives. And prayer is a big component when it comes to the church. And so I'd like to unpack that this morning, our need of prayer, fresh oil of prayer. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 27, verse 20 gives us a picture of what when God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. There was this call of having lights or lamps that were lit, and they were going all the time. And it says in Exodus chapter 27, verse 20, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the lights so that the lamps may be kept burning. And so the thought of having lamps being burning all the time, it symbolizes God's presence. And I we understand if there's no oil, the flame dies. And I believe it's the same thing. It was a symbol of prayer. If there's no prayer, the flame of God's presence in our lives and also in the church starts to flicker out. And so prayer is central when it comes to our walk, when it comes to the church. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. In other words, sometimes we look at prayer as a warm-up. It's like, okay, I'm going to pray before I do this, thinking that what I'm going to do is what really matters. But what he's saying here is that what's very important, yeah, we're called to do stuff, but what really matters is what God does when we pray. And it's important for us to see this. I look at my prep for this weekend. I try to craft with the help of the Holy Spirit a message that would speak to you. But the reality is as I deliver this morning and I share to you, there's another dynamic that is more important than even what I'm saying when it comes to doing this. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in response to prayer. So when I prepare, I've got to devote myself in prayer, knowing that God has to go beyond me. Because I'm very limited in my knowledge. I have to believe that what I do is out of obedience, but I need to believe that the work of the Holy Spirit is moving in response to prayer. So prayer is way more than just an intro. Prayer is way more than a warm-up. If you look at the early church, the apostles, they saw that as a priority. It says in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What happened is that there was so many different needs that were crying out. And there was some widows that needed assistance, and there was a lot of ministry that needed to happen. And the apostle had to stop and say, we have to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Like, the ministry of the word was their public ministry, but prayer was the power behind it. It was essential for them to walk in prayer, not to mortgage prayer or not to push prayer aside, but to commit to the Word of God and to commit to prayer. I believe it's the same thing for today. There's a need for us to see a prayer being installed in our lives. And when it comes to prayer, prayer is the easiest thing to do when you think about it. Anyone can do it. It's open for all. You don't need a dress code. You can pray in your PJ. Pretty cool, eh? You can have your tea or your coffee, maybe not sitting outside now, but you can drink your tea or coffee in the morning, and you can have a conversation with God. You read the Word, and God speaks to you. It's pretty amazing that you can pray in your PJ. You don't have to have a certain dress code to pray, or, oh, let me wear this, and then I will be able to pray. You can pray as you are. Pretty cool, right? It's for all ages, so it's you're never too young to pray. Like, you can't say to someone, hey, kid, another 5 years you can pray, right? Or you can't say to an older person, you're expired right now. Like, when you're going to pray, God's not going to listen anymore. You had your chance. It's too late. So there's no age, right? It's no age. Any language. You don't have to learn Mandarin Chinese. It's the hardest language to learn. So, okay, you got to speak in a certain way here. You got to know that language. Oh, you can't pray until you learn this language. It has nothing to do with that. You can pray anywhere. You can pray in the shower. You can pray in the car. You can pray anywhere at all time, 24/7. The office is never closed. There's no holidays for God, right? So you can pray at all time, and you approach a throne of grace. God doesn't say, well, you should know better. I'm on holidays right now. Call me later. So prayer is one of the easiest things to do. It's for all of us, right? And it's not related to circumstances in any situation. Like James chapter 5, verse 13 says, are any of you suffering hardship? You should pray. Any of you happy? You should sing praise. And so don't wait to be in a better context to pray. Pray in every circumstance. A hard time, good time, praise the Lord, and really praising God is a type of prayer too. So prayer is one of the easiest things. We can all do it. But at the same time, it's one of the hardest things. Would you agree? It's hard to pray. It's really hard. There's a lot of things that comes in the way that stops us of praying. And I'd like to, just to give you a few this morning. We live in a noisy world. We struggle to pause. There's so many voices and so many distractions. Actually, we have so many people thinking for us. You know, you look at YouTube, they'll think for you. You look at AI now, you go see chat, and he will give you what you want to hear. It's like, it seems like we don't need God anymore. We can't think. We can't wait before God. We have so many voices, and we just adopt. And we do our lives like that instead of going to God. Like, look what it says in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What a beautiful two verses. If I start by the end, verse 11, it says the Lord of hosts is with us. He's referring to the God of creation. The host talks about the God that made the stars, the armies that is defined as the armies of the Lord as the stars. And so God is the maker of all things. So we can trust in God, the maker, but also he says that he's the God of Jacob, that he's the God that is personal, that is being a fortress to a man. And meaning that God is not just up there ruling in majesty, making the earth his footstool and the heaven his throne, but he is also walking with Jacob. And we know that Jacob was not a perfect man. And we see God walking with Jacob. And so in this psalm, what we see is that God is the maker of all things. And at the same time, he's walking with me. And what God says, he says that I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted on the earth, meaning that I do what I do so well. But you have to learn to be still and know that I'm God. Because when I don't stop, I won't know who he is. I won't know. I won't see him exalted in the nations. I won't see him as a maker, and I won't see him walking with me. So it's very important to realize that prayer is so huge. At the same time, it's hard because we live in a noisy world. Secondly, we struggle with prayer because it's hard. It takes effort, right? It's the weakness of the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we find this example when Jesus is in Gethsemane. Pivotal moment for Jesus. He is going to be betrayed by Judah, and crucifixion is knocking at his door. And then he urges his closest disciples to come and pray. And he says, pray. And he goes through this horrible feeling and moment, knowing that he would carry the sin of the world on on himself, and knowing that he would be crucified and killed savagely. And so he asks his disciples to pray. So he goes see his disciples, and they're sleeping. And then he goes to pray, and he comes back again, and he shares this urgency, but they're sleeping. Comes a third time, and they're out, they're sleeping. And it's sad to see. I probably think that later on, the disciple had remorse over that. But the problem was, I believe, the situation was they were not really aware of what was happening, you see? They saw the breaking of the bread and the juice, and they saw they saw Jesus preparing them for his departure, but I don't think they really, really got it. I think if they would have got it, they would have prayed. And I think it's the same thing with us sometimes when we look at our world, when we look at needs, we don't really realize what's really happening. But what really needs to happen is for us to be a people that understand that it is that prayer is central when it comes to seeing him, when it comes to see God move, that we need to see prayer in our lives. Another reason why we struggle to pray is because there's this opposition from the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the power of this world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." So all these titles are spiritual leadership, demonic leadership. And so there's a position when we pray. We can see it, right? We can see it because we see this battle in the flesh, right? We don't want to pray. We struggle. And like, for example, we go at home after a long day. The first thing we want to do is to watch stuff. And it's hard to say, I'm not going to watch this, I'm going to pray. There's such a battle inside of us in the flesh. But there's also this spiritual battle trying to keep the church asleep and not realizing that the church has this power. It's like knowing, I don't have any ideas in my head when it comes to superhero, but let's say a superhero doesn't know that he has power, and he does life not knowing that there's so much that can happen through him. I think it's the same thing. I believe that the spiritual battle is for us to that the devil wants us to stay asleep and not realize that when we activate prayer, when we seek his face, things starts to change. And so there's spiritual opposition. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapon of our warfare are not of the flesh." Can you say that to your neighbor? "Are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." So prayer is one of that weapon that breaks strongholds. Through prayer, God moves. So why is it hard to pray? Well, it's hard in the flesh. Also, there's a position. Also, what we need to deal with is pride. Pride is a big, big thing when it comes to prayer. Like, humility talks about going low. It talks about worship. Pride resists prayer. Pride wants control, and prayer hands over control. Prayer hands over control, and pride wants control. And so it's very important for us to realize that if we want to engage ourselves in prayer, we got to see our need of God. We have to embrace humility. And like I said, there's so much distraction, right? We think about weapons of mass destruction, but there's definitely weapon of mass distraction. There's so much distraction. There's so much things that comes our way. So it's hard to pray. And another reason why we find it hard to pray is that we seek human justice. We take matter into our own hands instead of going to God. We run ahead of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19 said, Paul says that to the Romans, and at that time, there was a lot of pressure and tension in Rome when it comes to being a believer. And he says, beloved, don't never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so instead of going to prayer, we take matters into our own hands. We react. We do stuff by our own flesh. And we miss out on God. And so we don't want to live like this. We want to turn to God. Listen, people, prayer is so essential. Like, if prayer is part of our lives and part of this church, there's so much that God can do. Maybe one of the things that prevents you of living a life of prayer is that you're afraid. You're afraid of the unseen territory. Maybe you're afraid of going deeper. But I'm going to tell you, to go deep in God is the best thing that will ever happen to you. And sometimes we have to venture out. We've got to open our hearts even wider. We've got to step in and say, God, I want to see your will in my life. I want to see you move in my heart. God, here I am. And this is a great start, a great step in your journey to see God step in your life, right? And sometimes we don't pray because of practical pragmatism, where we rationalize everything and we remove the spirituality of things and we don't expect much from prayer. We follow our own thinking. We just do life. We're smart. We just do it. And we don't see our need for prayer. So it's important to realize that you cannot fulfill God's will without Him in your life and without that reality of prayer. Another reason why we struggle with prayer is that prayer involves my heart. It really does. It's an act of worship. It's a heart of prayer more than an act of prayer. Like, it's when you engage yourself in prayer. Like it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras is described as always wrestling in prayer. Wrestling in prayer. I don't know if you ever wrestled, but if you wrestle as a kid, it's kind of cool to see kids wrestle, but wrestling at my age, I would die. I have probably said that before. When I was in high school, our school sport was wrestling for the guys. It was horrible. You had to wrestle with guys on the mat, like, and you're all over each other, and there's some that did not shower. I remember being under a person, and I was gagging, get me out. I had supernatural strength just to push him away just because of the smell. You know, when you wrestle, it takes energy, like lots of energy. You can walk for an hour, but try to wrestle for 5 minutes. You father with your kids when you wrestle, eh? You find an excuse to have a pause, right? So we see this man wrestling in prayer. So it's not a casual prayer. It's not just a prayer before the meal. It's not just a prayer before going to bed. There's wrestling. There's this giving of one person in a situation where your heart is engaged. And I believe it's so essential for us as believers to have our heart engaged, to wrestle in prayer for the need of others, to wrestle in prayer for our community, where we stand in the gap and we pray so hard from our hearts to see God move, where we have such a desire to see God move in our midst. You look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Can someone say amen? Amen. Yeah. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. It's like It might be tears. It's in your belly. It's heavy in your heart, and you're lacking words. But the Holy Spirit is praying through you. And it says in verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Pretty intense, right? Remember when I read the text of Exodus 27, verse 20, talking about the Israelite that bring clear oil of pressed olive? It was pressed olive. And it's like, remember the song, the song that we sing, there's pressing new wine, and there's pressing, and we know pressing is not fun. But when you go in prayer and you press on, and there's a pressing, and there's a giving of yourself, this is where God intervenes. So we need to see that in our lives. Why is prayer the greatest work? Well, I like the quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, my own soul conviction is that prayer is the greatest power in the entire universe. The greatest power, that's what he believed. The greatest power in the universe. So when we want to see change in our culture, change in our nation, change in our family, cannot neglect prayer, right? Prayer changes us. It really does. In Psalm 37, verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your desire's heart. But when you have his heart's desire, when you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart desires do change. And so it changes you. And I like what E. Stanley Jones says about this. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperating with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catches hold of the shore, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. And so when you embrace prayer and you go deep in prayer, I think this is what happens. There's a letting go, there's a surrender, and there's a desire to see God's will beyond your own needs and beyond your own circumstance. So why is prayer a greater work? It's because prayer moves heaven in regard of God's will. And you know this text that we find in James, this example that James gives of the prophet Elijah. But let me read it again because it's worth listening again. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So a righteous person that prays has, there's a lot of power there. And he gives this example of Elijah in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like us, a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. The key word here was fervently. Can you say to your neighbor? Fervently. Fervently. So we got this example of this man, this righteous man that prays fervently the will of God. And we see this happen. It's unreal. Corrie ten Boom said, the wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter in God's realm where everything is possible. There's a story of Mary, Queen of Scots, in the 1500s. There was this tension between the Protestant and the Catholics. And she reported to say about John Knox, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. Like John Knox was praying, preaching the gospel and praying fervently for revival. And she was more afraid of him than all the armies of Europe. Pretty impressive, right? I believe that the greatest victory are not won on the battlefields, but are won in the prayer closet. Like, God is calling us to pray. There's such a need in our world, right? Like, when I was on holidays, vacationing, I was reading the news, and I was reading what happened in Congo, Republic of Congo, on July 28, where a church was attacked, leaving 43 Christian worshipers dead, mothers and children. And I remember before I left on holidays, what happened in Damascus, Syria, on June the 22nd, where there was a shooting and bombing in a church, leaving 22 murdered and many injured. You heard a few weeks ago what happened to Shirley Kirk's assassination. You know, this should cause us to pray, should cause us to turn to God. and seek his face. One out of seven Christians is persecuted worldwide, according to Open Doors. Two out of five Christians is severely persecuted in Asia. According to the Open Doors, 300 million Christians suffer high level of persecution. Think about that. 380 million. That's combining Canada and the States that are severely being attacked for their faith. Mostly in the 10-20 windows in the Middle East, all that region. Unreal. So I really believe that God is calling us to pray. Like 5 to 10 thousand individuals are murdered each year for their faith. 5,000 every year are placed in prison. My neighbor was, I was talking to his son-in-law because he doesn't speak English, and he was saying that he was 5 years in prison in the old USSR. 5 years in prison. Unreal, right? So when I look at our world, moral aspect, everything with it, I just believe that it's something that we're called to do. And I know that prayer is difficult. Consistency is hard. I get it. But imagine what God could do if we were given to prayer. Like, we need God. There was a book that was written in 2013 called The Evangelical Great Recession. The main idea is that the evangelical church was losing focus, going away from old paths, becoming liberal, embracing culture, and becoming political. The only option for the church is the old path. Old path equals new power, like prayer, like surrender, like following his word. And I think it's so important for us not to lose track of that. In the day that we live in, there's this call for us to pray, because it worked in the past. And I'll talk more about that next week when it comes to the upper room. And it works still today, but it's like we've drifted away and found other ways than the old paths. Why should we pray? It's because God responds to prayer. I remember this text I'm going to read to you. I remember reading it the first time when I was around 18. And this text has always kind of haunted me in the right way, in a good way. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We even sang it in those days. And it's Solomon that is asking for God to show up as he was the instrument by God to build a temple. And he says this, what he says, I want to see your glory in the temple. I want to see you in our midst. I want to see you in our country. And he says, God responds, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, what strikes me is heal their land. It really strikes me. It really strikes me because the more I see, the more I see the need in my land. And you probably see the same. In verse 15, it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. But you see here the call of God to intervene and to move. If my people were called by my name, and we know that we're called by his name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's what we need. God responds to prayer. So when we turn to God and we seek his face and we say, God, renew me with fresh oil of prayer, I believe things starts to happen. I think things starts to change. What happens when we pray? Well, mission is fueled when we pray. And I like this because it talks about persecution in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. There's persecution against the apostles and the leaders of the church. And it says, after the persecution, when they were told not to talk about Jesus anymore, they went to pray. And after this prayer, the meeting shook, the place where they met shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. They were filled again with the Holy Spirit. It was attached to prayer. It was going to God, interceding, wrestling. like taking a hold of the altar of God and say, like Jacob, I won't let you go. I won't let you go. And sometimes you can't do it in a shot. But if we have this attitude and this heart of not letting go, so God, you need to move. I need to see you move in my family. I need to see you move in our land. And we persist and we persevere in prayer. Can I say, watch out? I believe God will intervene and move in a powerful way. Prayer is amazing. It's an amazing work because God works behind the scene, behind the curtains. I like the story of Acts chapter 9, verse 10, at the conversion of Paul, where Paul was hit by the light, was blind, and Jesus spoke to him and told him, why do you persecute me? And it says in verse 10, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision and says, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judah on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Like, Paul was praying, not knowing that God supernaturally was drawing this man to come and see him. See, when you pray, you don't know what God is doing, but he's doing something. You might not see it, but he's at work, you know? So you're there praying and you're in a situation where you say, God, what's next? And you turn to God, God works in the back scene. And it's like when you come and see a play or something, you don't know what's all happening when the curtains close, right? You got the lights, you have all the props and all that. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to prayer. We don't see what God is doing, but he's doing something. We just got to continue to pray. So prayer is a greater work. And prayer outlasts us. That's amazing. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 says, prayer is stored and valued in heaven. It's linked with incense. Like when you pray, it's not wasted words. It's captivated in heaven. That's what the book of Revelation says. And in chapter 8, it says prayers are answered and poured back on earth in God's timing. That means that your prayer don't just go up. They also come down in God's power in his timing. Pretty amazing, right? So we have this call to pray. The oil of prayer sustains our fire. We need God. Amen. My calling to you is that we might be a church of prayer and that you would be a person of prayer. That would be an unlocking of your heart to see the need and to respond to prayer.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.